Good afternoon, Agmanesta. Welcome to our third roundtable. This is taking place from episodes 9 through 12 is mainly what we're going to be talking about. I am John. I'm your Dungeon Master. Corey.
Hi. Hi, I'm Corey. I play Goshen and Do a Dice.
God,
that's again.
Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kyle. I play Ordok in Do or Dice.
Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben. And I don't know how much I can say. But I play in Do or Dice.
I'm Trent. I play Talmor in Do or Dice.
And our Master Wizard.
I am Jordan, and I play the Master Wizard, Jerry Allman, in Do or Dice.
Sweet.
Awesome. We're done? That's it?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, that's intros, and that's team intros. Good job, all. real quick, I'm going to talk about sponsors now and then a little bit later on as well. As always, thank you to Easy Roller Dice for sponsoring us for a while now, and the giveaways, and all that fun stuff that they're doing. We're getting a lot of cool stuff, as of confirmation today, of a lot of cool new stuff that they're going to send out. So for the upcoming giveaways that we're going to be running just like every month and, for certain milestones on certain medias, we're going to have a lot of cool stuff to give away from them. So, all as always, thanks to them. And if you go to their site, DDP15 for their code. So, go check them out. And another big thanks to Wormwood. They've been sponsoring us since the start. We don't really talk about them enough, but you get 15%, or no, that's just domestic shipping. Free domestic shipping with code DOORDICE, and they have some pretty great products, so go check them out when you want to get some new gaming accessories. And that's all the ads for now. Okay, yeah, so that's all the ads for now. We're going to talk about studio headphones here in a bit, but let's get to the episode talk. So that's episode 9, No Leg to Stand On, and till episode 12, which is Falling Apart.
So as a little recap, episode 9, No Leg to Stand On, the party struggles to get their bearings as they learn some troubling new information. 10 split parties, whilst Penny, Ordok, and Goshen, and Timothy, get intimate in a jail cell. Talmor spends an awkward few hours with an elf, and Nim has a little alone time with some mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
11. Let's build a bomb.
Hey.
The divided party tries to recover from a flurry of events and revelations from the previous day while trying to scrape together a plan to protect the spire or at least survive. And finally, episode 12, Falling Apart, with Elon as close as he is to what he wants. The party will do anything to stop him from achieving it, and it won't be the same afterwards.
Dun, dun, dun.
What does it all mean?
I lost my foot!
Means we failed.
Yeah, that's the most noteworthy.
The most...
Well, not the most noteworthy. We don't really give a shit, but Ordok lost a foot.
Also, somebody died.
The guffins. Yeah, but we're gonna, that's a big one that caused kind of an uproar, and we're gonna save that for later on. So up until, I guess, the moment where the podcast fell apart and my favorite character died, everything before that.
Let's see, Focus. Penny became a god of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and I forgot to add into our itinerary, just in case you guys aren't on the Discord or social media, speaking of Penny, real quickly, Sally is going to be no longer with us. We kind of have a big post on the Discord in the June and also on the blog, on the website, the new website blog, for the kind of State of the Shattered Empire address that we do every month. There's a big, you know, there's more about that in there, but just to recap with you guys, just because why she's not here and you won't hear her go on going forward, she's just no longer with us. So go check out the State of the Union address for more information on that. But back to the episode, Doc. Yeah, she became a god of death. Or
was it 10, FYI?
Something.
So, yeah, so 9 was
losing a foot.
Yeah.
And being healed by the enemy.
Shenanigans and losing
a foot. How did you feel about that then, Ordok? Losing your foot.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty pissed.
But, I could tell.
Yeah, the facial expression, like the whole time, you're just like, oh, what the?
after discussion, I sort of got over it. Having a very like crisis of like what am I gonna do? Because I'm like kind of a shitty healer. I have to like walk that balance between healing and being able to do some damage. And like if I don't have a foot, how can I, or not heal? How can I like fight at all? And so I was having like a character like that. That's the core of Ordok, is like being able to do some damage when damage needs to be done. And I'm literally missing a foot now, so like I can't even walk. I can take up archery. So like immediately after it happened, I think I was kind of mad, but with some discussion, it's all fine.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
The one thing I wondered about that was healing your leg or having Elon heal your leg the right choice? Like, was there another, like, if we didn't heal his leg, could we have reattached it?
Depending on how you went about trying to reattach it, there was a small, slim chance it could have been done. Possibly.
Medically.
I won't say how. Well, medically, you guys are a few centuries before that technology.
Magic.
Master Wizard.
But it was... you were very limited in your options at the time.
Well. You got him a cool stump leg.
I've got a tree stump. I keep... to help that one branch grow. Because I just imagine a stump with like one little twig sticking off of it that has like three leaves on it.
Oh, of course.
Yep, I mean, sure. I could carve your leg into a foot.
Yeah, but you know that if you carve it, he's going to be walking around with like a unicorn as his foot, right?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, what else happened in that episode? I don't really think other than the big explanation of Penny, or was that the other episode?
That was split parties.
That was split parties. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Nim shoot you with his bow?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was later on.
But. Yeah, that was kind of later on as well. I think that was in split parties. So,
yeah, because the severing of the leg was the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at the towards the end of that. Oh, yeah.
So we found the Stargate.
Oh yeah, that's what it was.
Oh yeah.
You ate a key.
Yeah.
I ate a key, yes. Best place for it. It's definitely gonna be safe forever.
Well, I think the best part is he's never gonna have to pass it. Yeah.
Because that just would have been gross all round. Like dex check, maybe?
Yeah.
Dexterity saving throw.
Like, constitution. I think
constitution. Yeah.
Sure.
With disadvantage.
We found Atlantis potentially on the map.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that was the episode before. But then we figured out we could get there with the door.
Yeah.
But now the door's gone.
And we know where... Oh, no, never mind. We don't know anything.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
It hasn't happened yet.
We know nothing.
So I think we were like exploring the arch when we heard people coming down, and that's why we had to, like... Oh, yeah, because we heard Timothy being tortured.
Yeah.
And me and Ordok stuck back, and then... Then it happened.
Then it was a bad luck at the dice.
I was asking how important were the key in the Stargate, and how bad did that whole plot get ruined?
Yeah, I wondered that, actually.
The key in the Stargate, it depends on how important it is to the party. It's depending on how important it is to the story. In terms of whole plot line get ruined, who said it got ruined?
It's the plan the whole time.
Fast. I mean, the guys kind of figured out today for their last recording how I have a lot of things interwoven with each other. So, who knows?
Is that something that we're going to be able to use as far as the Stargate? Or is it just... Come on.
It's our fast travel mechanic. We're going to figure that out.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah, we do. This whole 2 days in the woods and trying to get attacked and whatnot sucks.
Yeah, I kind of keep reminding myself that everything took place over like 5 days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fast. So on the next episode, episode 10, which is Split Parties, where we find out the big reveal of Penny being an death incarnate, more or less, right? Like, okay, because I was kind of spotty on that, and I'm sure other people were too, unless
it was a large bit of lore.
Yeah, could you explain that a little bit more in detail?
From what you guys know from the book that Jerry has and from things insinuated by Elon, is that there's a high possibility both Elon and Penny were at this ritual, which in some way, shape, or form, were trying to get individuals to become gods. And the one that Penny got was death. While you can kind of assume Elon's might have been fire.
Probably not.
Might have been? Yeah.
I mean, it's a possibility. It could have been, you know, ground.
Where... Were they there willingly? Like, was that, like... I mean, or is that something we can know? That's probably something we'll figure out.
It's a toss-up.
Oh, we're the bad guys. It just becomes more and more evident that we are the bad guys. So that... And that's the one where I get shot.
Yes.
Nims.
Yeah.
Nim shot me with the poisonous, non-poison mushrooms.
Yeah, you got home alone.
Lucky I forgot about the bullseye lantern, really, because I was supposed to shoot the bullseye lantern. But I realized that I'd sort of set two traps in one because I poisoned the arrow. So there's no point shooting a poison arrow into a bullseye lantern. So, yeah, I shot the poisoned arrow that wasn't actually poisoned first.
Which was good because we ended up then using the bullseye lantern to
set yourself on fire.
So it all worked out in the end, really. Because people who don't know what they're doing should definitely make bombs.
Worked out.
For the FBI people watching, we're talking about a fictional podcast, I promise.
Main ingredient was griffin grease.
Yeah.
If that exists currently, I want some.
Right.
It worked though, didn't it?
Like, I picture the consistency of griffin grease to be like room temperature bacon grease.
That's what I was thinking too.
Like, yep.
Yeah, like I don't know if I was right, but that's kind of what it comes to mind every time you say griffin grease.
That's where I was too.
White crap, you gotta scrape off the pan when you forget to wash it.
Yeah. Great minds think alike. And then let's see what else happened. It was so long ago now that I
forget. The bit of information that really concerned me that we got from Penny was about how everything's closed up and magic is dying. being a wizard, that concerned me a bit.
Why?
No reason.
I'm fine with it. So, speaking of that, though, being that, like, me, Goshen, Ben's character, Orda, like, everybody except humans, we're all technically magical creatures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, is that gonna affect us, or has that affected us, or will that affect us?
Time will tell.
That is bullshit.
Well, I mean, I can't talk about that.
I'm not sure if I am.
I know, that's creature. The tricky thing.
Am I a magical creature?
Anything other than
John?
Anything other than human is considered a magical creature in fantasy D&D.
Like descendant of a genie, I have no chance.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Especially now.
Yeah.
Did someone fuck the genie, or did the genie get fucked by someone?
I don't know.
No. I feel like
maybe it was usually the person could have wished for it, though. You know. Man, I wish I could get laid right now.
Well, you're in luck, because it's been thousands of years for me too.
But just think about the Earth Genasi. He had a great pickup line, right? Like, well, lucky for you, I'm rock hard.
Unlike Goshen, who's flaccid and blowing in the wind.
Ouch.
That's enough dick jokes.
Are you sure? We still have two more Genasi races.
Yeah. So the next one was, let's build a bomb. And that's when we got it right, after setting myself on fire. And then what would you guys do? I didn't really listen.
Stood there. We messed with the guards. Oh, yeah, that's right. We messed with the guard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the monkey. You like
hit him in the face a few times.
That was an Ordok
for his about the abilities of his staff. Well, yeah.
I didn't actually expect that to work. And then after it worked, Ordok's like, hit him again. Like, okay. Think that'll work.
Oh, should I explain a little bit about the two weapons that were found?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because those are big now.
I just
took it in the last episode that aired. So
yeah.
Yeah.
How I plan on doing these, I've done these in some homebrew ones I've done before, are like, I believe the term is legacy weapons, that they grow with the power of the wielder, and the weapon itself needs to meet certain criteria before it can continue its transition to a higher tier. So as they spend more time attuned to these weapons, they start learning more things about the weapon. The weapon could be having some kind of influential control or something over the individual. And in terms of them, they'll know what the weapon needs in order to grow in power. So it could be like, if it was a dwarven battle axe, it might need to slay the enemy of the dwarves, or it might need to spend a certain amount of time in a mine, things like that.
Bananas.
It's not influencing me at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
So the monkey staff. You're going to have to eat like bananas in like under a minute, like 20 bundles of bananas.
Totally.
The, let me think, the hammer one. You're just going to have to, like, crush the sun or something with it, obviously.
Crush the sun.
Yeah.
I feel like my goal is a little bit more obtainable in this situation.
You'd be surprised.
It's a lot of bananas.
And you do have a rocket hammer.
You do. I don't know how the rocket works yet, though.
You can fly the hammer up to the sun.
So, what level did Amber have that hammer at when she had it?
Higher than me.
Know. Two.
I was just trying to give you a goal to where you're like, this level, you get rocket hammer.
Rocket hammer!
No.
I don't know.
Basically Poppy from League of Legends.
I don't get that reference.
I do.
Yeah. No one plays League of Legends because it's a bad game.
It's a salt factory.
It is a salt factory.
I've been the rest of episode 12. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I just read Mr. Dill's question.
Another one.
He asked, was this considered a win for you guys or a fail in the mission? And I have been asking myself that the whole time.
Where are the bad guys?
Still a little unclear.
We're quickly proving ourselves to be like the nuclear option, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, you need a problem at least eliminate. We got that.
So it's a win in the sense of we were sent there to scope out and report back what happened in West Spring. We did that.
We just happened to do other stuff as well.
Yeah. I think it would be a fail in the fact that, you know, one party member is missing, the other is dead. These powerful shrine towers, we destroyed one. In general, our party disposition is worse off than it was when we started. So in all other respects, it's probably a fail. But in the original mission of find out what happened and report, total win.
We also saved some people that were being held captive.
That's true.
And yeah, while we didn't stop the cult from achieving, well, we kind of stopped them from achieving their goal. Whatever they wanted to do, it stopped. But now we have other problems.
Maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
We got rid of a lot of them, and they're bad people, so that's a win. They're definitely bad people. That's objective. They killed like a whole town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They burned people. Yeah. So we're at least less bad than them.
Another one from Mr. Tiddles was, so who regrets not going to deal with the kobolds first?
Not sure how many times it actually got cut out, but I think like at least every 10 minutes, I'm just saying we should have gone to the kobold cave.
Yeah. I think you could montage from each of us like saying we should have went to the kobolds at some point in time.
Hashtag no ragrats.
I mean, like on now, the flip side, I don't know how we would have... Like, we were playing in waters that were much larger than us. And so, like, I don't know how we would have won the situation. Like, it was going to go bad no matter what happened. And, like, most of us made it out alive.
90% of us.
It's like 87%.
Yeah.
I think... Like Kyle said, we're dealing with a situation much larger than us, and we just kind of stumbled into it. So, as far as, you know, meta, like, picking missions first, I think this was the better mission to go with, because...
The mission assignment in the beginning was, people are missing, we don't know why, we keep sending search parties, and they keep dying. And, like, we got there, and it's like, oh, it's just like a mystical war zone.
Yeah, it was like, you know, go find out or go to these mines and kill all the kobolds for, you know, reasons. And without the information that we obtained in West Spring, we wouldn't know, you know, kind of what's going on with kobold mines or, you know, anything else going on. So I think it was progression of the storyline a better choice.
Not to mention with Ordok and I at least picking up those weapons, we also have like a bit of a power boost too.
Yeah.
Damn the consequences.
Because here's the thing. You. No matter which one you guys would have gone with, things would have kept progressing off screen.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm not pausing one mission because you guys are on another mission. Things are moving at the same speed across everything that
because
I've been
John's
hinting
a dick.
At for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured if we went to the kobolds, then whatever they wanted to do in West Spring was gonna just happen.
Yeah.
And that probably, yeah, and minus my foot. that probably would have been worse, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I think we're better off now dealing with the kobolds now that we've dealt with West Spring.
We can't really talk about it, but we understand more context of the kobolds now.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 And then the episode 12, Falling Apart. The big one. The biggest episode that we've had all arc since we've been releasing episodes. Kind of the most important one, I would think.
Mm, there was my character episode.
Other than the obvious, I think, you know, the information that we found out was pretty important. Mm. I guess we kind of skipped over the grave robbing parts from the last few episodes before this, but like figuring out, like, in context who all those people were now, it makes me feel incredibly horrible about doing.
Makes me feel proud.
Oh, jeez. I can't wait for those episodes.
And destroying the tower has a lot more gravity to it as well.
See, you know, the good thing about being dead is the fact it's got nothing to do with me.
Like, it makes me, that's why I say I think we're the bad guys, because of kind of like the things that we've done and did, especially with, you know, destroying the tower.
The way in which we won the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That mission that, you know, we won, I think the way we did it makes us just bad people.
It was a very extreme sort of reaction, wasn't it? Or like attitude where it's like, well, if we can't have it, then no one can. Sort of thing, like we will bring this fucking thing down before you can have it.
To be fair, I don't think that was our intention. I think we just wanted to blow him up.
Yeah,
and you guys just made your bomb a little bigger than you thought it was.
So much more powerful. Yeah, Tiddles says in the chat that he wonders who that dead body was, and
probably nobody.
You have to wait like a month.
Yep. Nobody.
In the episodes to find out.
But you do find out.
Yeah. And everything is explained.
And it makes me exceptionally proud.
Everyone else horrified.
Yeah, pretty much. It's real bad. I'm the bad guy in this story. One of my biggest regrets from that is not going up the tower.
Oh, yeah.
I really wanted to see what happened at the top.
If we had if we had gone up, like, would you have let that happen, or would it have been like tower starts coming down?
Oh, if you, I mean, things would have kept going on. If you guys went up the tower, it still would have kept coming down. That's why when you guys were down, like, okay, you guys have enough stuff to do, maybe one, maybe two, depending on your dex checks. Otherwise, you're going to fall down with everything else.
Level with me. Was there a window at the top of that tower?
No.
Okay, I made the right choice then. Yeah. I could fall any height and be fine, but...
I think that really goes to show as well, especially now knowing that, how I this is something I've said before, that I think that kind of sets us apart from other podcasts, because we don't have plot armor. It's not like, you know, what Sally said in previous episodes, like, oh, don't worry, we're the main characters. That doesn't apply here, you know. And we know that now, especially with Ben dying, that our characters are just as much pawns as they are anybody else in the world. And making the wrong decision has weight to it. We can die if we choose poorly.
I took the kid gloves off a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I fudging dice rolls, changing things here and there. Nope. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Noticed that with the combat that comes up in one of the next episodes, I think. Can't talk
about
episode
13. Yeah, 13.
Yeah.
So.
Fucking.
Can I admit something? All right.
You shifty bastard.
So it's super shifty, too. I'm actually kind of glad Nim chose to sacrifice himself the way he did. Because I was actually going to talk to John. Well, it gave me time to like see what the staff was going to do and give me sort of like a reason to change the way Goshen acted a little bit. I was actually going to talk to John about potentially killing Goshen.
Really?
I was. And then Nim sacrificed himself. So it's like, well, no, can't do that. And I'm kind of glad now because I'm like, I found a new approach to my character and I'm loving it. So.
What was your issue with Goshen before then? If you don't mind.
I didn't really like have much of an identity for him, you know, other than like he's been broken down and built up so many times that he doesn't really know who he is sort of thing. But now he's like found some sort of identity a little bit, even if it's potentially artificial.
Fair enough. It's cool.
You watch your mouth since tittles. But yeah. So Nim saved Goshen, hilariously.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think Nim saved us all.
He did.
Well, that was his intention.
Right here.
Like,
I sort of, the one thing I do regret from that episode, not regret, but like, I wonder if we should release the conversation we had about like what Nim was about to do. As like a bonus thing, because there's probably 20 minutes of audio that we cut out there of just like
it was something like, you know, 10 to 12 minutes of straight just back and forth of talking like, you know, no, we shouldn't, yes we should, what we could do. And you know, John was just sitting there the whole time smiling. I don't care, what are you dying?
But I was all right with it from the very start. I think people are still unclear whether or not it was an accident or it was intentional. But as far as I was concerned, it was intentional. And I knew I was going to do it from the minute that that bomb went off, pretty much.
So let's go ahead, because that's kind of the one and only, you know, question that we got from the audience for this month. And I have basically the whole rest of the podcast slotted out to just discussing that because it was such a big thing. So let's go ahead and save that for here in a bit. So we'll move on to our next kind of talking point here, which was if there was any questions from Patreon, which right now we just have Mr. Tittles. So if there's anything you wanted to ask specifically... Is Elon actually dead?
Good question.
The question that that's something. Can we get a yes or no, and then we'll talk about it again? Because that's part of Nim's death. Can we just get a yes or no?
I cannot answer that question.
Damn it, John! Damn it! If Nim died in vain, I'm gonna be. You're fired from the podcast. I need to know these things.
I can say if it was me, I was DMing, he didn't die.
Knew it. It does. It does set up a good revenge arc, doesn't it?
Alrighty. So with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to something a little bit new that we've done doing because we are actually sponsored. Mostly by Studio Headphones. We posted it on the... Yeah, if you're watching the live stream, we're all wearing them in various colors. Black and white. if you check out the Discord, you'll see we have like the Discord.
It's not the shopping channel.
And that'll get you 15% off. We are all using the Studio Regents. They are the over-the-ear Bluetooth headphones that they offer from that company. And they are pretty great.
Nice.
Ben actually did a full write-up review because he actually knows audio equipment quite well. And if you want to check that out, it's on our blog on our website, which is a new feature we added. So jump to the website and check that out there. It's a really enticing read.
And it's not bullshit either. It's pretty like it's pretty much what I thought for. So like I called them out on the things they're not great at and I said the things they were good at. I did not like, oh, they're the best things ever. Oh, I've got my cock in them. Like I was fully like this is my unvarnished opinion. So.
Paid advertisement. I don't know if they'd appreciate the word cock in their advertisement, but
it's okay. Beauty.
I'm not sure if they'd appreciate the whole review, but you know, I thought I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, they gave us free run to do whatever we wanted. As Mr. Tittle says in the chat, as a person watching, they look awesome. Thank you.
They're very nice.
I've been using them personally for work sometimes and then just editing. They're a lot actually better than the ones I have. And so I've been using them for use on my computer. I haven't plugged in now because I don't have a Bluetooth receiver in my
mine wireless.
That's the thing that I like the most about them is that like I have it on my phone. So like when I'm watching something on my phone, I'll link them up there, but I can just plug them directly into my computer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're big into like looks and stuff, you can actually change the covers on the earphones here to like different ones, different colors and stuff.
Yeah, they sell caps on their website.
Yeah, it's nice.
I genuinely use them every day as well. Like, not no bullshit. Mm-hmm. I genuinely use them every day for listening to podcasts.
Yeah, I've got them synced to my phone and so on.
They sound really good for voices. Like when I was listening to loads of different stuff on them, I found like. If you listen to a lot of podcasts, then they're pretty stellar actually for that, which I don't mean to sound so surprised, but they really, they were
good.
There's
a difference I've noticed from podcast and music as well. Little music I listen to. I mean, they sound great, but I think if you're a big podcast listener or audiobook listener especially, these would be great because the clarity that you get from just kind of like a discussion format is really, really nice. They're definitely super crisp and clean sounding.
Yep.
And again, they're Bluetooth, and so they look cool, and they have a range of like 30 yards or something like that, and it's really nice. So... if you want to check them out, it's Sudio, S-U-D-I-O, and we have a link to them on the Discord, and we'll put one in this episode.
It's also on the website.
Description. On the website as well.
And on the Instagram.
Oh, hey, yeah, we're on Instagram. but they have tons, not just over-the-ear headphones. I'm looking at their website now. They have wraparound earbuds. They have one that have microphones on them. They have wireless earbuds, which are really nice as well. They have a whole bunch. And like I said, you get 15% off these all headphones on their website, which is a sizable chunk. And they're really good. So we recommend them. We want to thank them a lot for sending us the product, for working with us as they have. And... going forward, you'll probably start hearing us talk about them a little bit more in the episodes. So that is all I have on them. So moving into kind of the only reason why anybody's ever gonna listen to this episode anyway. I think the actual question itself comes from Psycho Sumo on our Discord. Thank you, Psycho Sumo. And kind of everybody else, given John Flack. How much of Nim's death was player-driven versus DM-driven? And just, you know, everybody saying, why though? And I hate you.
My wife calling me a horrible person.
Yeah, John.
Let's go ahead. How did actually Ben? The first question I have to ask you is, how did your mom feel about you dying? Because I know your mom watches or listens.
The thing is, I mean, I talk about my parents, but my dad came over for a coffee when I was editing, and I said, "Oh, my character's just died," and then he told my mum that. So my mum immediately phoned me up saying, "Like, What do you mean your character's died? How does he die? I've got to wait till next week to find out. So, yeah, not That's great. Awesome. But,
So, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's unpack that whole issue. How much of Nim's death was player-driven versus DM-driven?
I'd say probably like 100% was all Ben.
I think the size of the bomb was really like the thing that kicked off. I don't think anyone expected it to actually like take down the entire spire.
So I get a lot of questions about that one, actually. Like, how the fuck did that happen? So do you mind if I do that real quick?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily the explosion itself. It was the shockwave it created. Because you guys were basically in a cavern. And it was just a lot of echoing, a lot of hard, solid rock. So things started to shift. Timbers keeping this thing up. It let it rotate. Started breaking ropes, keeping things in line. Old ropes. This thing was not constructed via magic. It was actually constructed by hand. So a lot of it was, it could fail, and it chose that time to basically do it. The one reason why the ring started going out before the center is because that was kind of held up by the spiral staircase going up, so it had a lot more safe points than anything else. So the shockwave and then the explosion, the fire, it was a lot for that little place.
Not to mention they'd been like banging on it with their hammer for a while and breathing fire on it, weakening it.
It was a really stressful week
for that I mean, basically hitting it from the outside would shake the entirety of it.
Nice.
When did you know that that Nim was gonna sacrifice himself and like not make it out alive?
Me or John? Sorry.
Ben.
Oh, sorry. So, like, when I shot you the week before, there was that point where I kind of stopped, and I'm not sure we probably would have edited it out in the thing because there was a pause where I was kind of thinking, like, I'm going to have to shoot you because that's what Nim would do in that situation. And it was kind of the same, like, when the bomb went off and everything went wrong and I found myself kind of the wrong side of wrong, at that point, I kind of thought, I don't think I can get back. The best thing I can get out of this situation is to kill Elon, and at least we've done that. And I didn't feel bad about it at all. Like the first thing to clear up is that it has nothing to do with wanting to play the witch doctor because the round table before that was obviously me saying, oh yeah, I'm going to kill off Nim. But actually it just timed like that way. Cause I like Nim. Like I was really enjoying playing Nim and I didn't really want to kill him. And I'm only kind of like, I'm totally fine with the way it ended, but only because I feel like at that moment in time, if you know Nim's backstory, and we're going to release that backstory episode that's me narrating his whole backstory, was that there was a point in his life before where he was in a similar situation and he felt like he failed. And that was the linchpin of his whole backstory, was that he was in a situation that it wasn't directly analogous to it, but it was pretty similar. And he felt like he failed it. And that led him to the Underdark, like inadvertently, and quite directly, it made him stay in the Underdark for 8 years and become a Gloomstalker. Like that's so it had like a big effect on his life. And obviously, when he came back out into the overworld, it was his whole driving force. But he had no ties on the overworld anymore, or none that he was 100% sure about. Like he didn't know if the people that he left behind were still going to be there. And then he met you guys. So I just felt like at the time when the bomb went off and all this shit started going wrong and it all started tilting, like I stopped and paused and I was thinking, because I think Trent, we edited it out, but you said something like, I see your cogs working, you're not going to do it. And I was, because that's exactly what I was thinking, was like, now is the time. Like, I've got to do this. Like, I have no, like, if I was Nim, like, and I knew, and I know the things that had happened to Nim, I would have done it. And there was like, for me, I say, I didn't really feel bad about it. And I didn't really feel upset about losing my character or anything, because it offered Nim a chance at redemption for the things that had led him to the situation he had, to a certain degree. Because, I mean, I don't really want to spoil the backstory, although it's not that good. But like, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is pretty good, and like knowing, because I've listened to it, because you sent it to me, and knowing kind of the backstory that it is, I think in that moment, you were basically playing the character in like the purest form that you could, and so I think, I mean, any other decision might not have been what, you know, like you said, what Nim would have chosen.
But that's what I felt. That's like.
Really. Yeah, I mean, that's what D&D, when it comes to it, when you take out the fact that, like, oh, they're main characters or party members, and, like, you know, we want to keep the story going. Because obviously, you know, kind of with Sally exiting the podcast, and then, like, the same week that happened, you know, Nymphs died, you know, it didn't really work timeline-wise for us, because it really, you know, we had multiple people leaving. But we knew it was going to be okay, because, you know, Nim was playing his character, or Ben was playing Nim, you know, the best that he could. And we think the storyline behind that was more important than having to worry about, you know, what that storyline was going to cause, or the effects of that storyline was going to have.
The thing is I felt like, if I don't do this now, then maybe John, because I don't have obviously any idea about what John had in mind for Nim's backstory in terms of how that was going to develop. And he could have maybe got his redemption in other ways or whatever. But at that point in time, I had no idea. And I still don't. And I don't want to know anymore. Like, so at that point in time, it really felt like this is the only option I have. Like, I don't know. I didn't know if I could get back to the party safely. I had a feeling that if I'd have tried to get back to the party, John was going to make me roll that I could possibly fail anyway. And it was like, then that really would have been like a shit way out. Or I could stab the rapier through the bad guy's head and die the hero. But no, like, got his redemption.
I think that's one thing that we have done. There have been a couple of situations where we are playing the characters as the characters should be versus doing things that are, like, smart. Because, like, I know that, I feel like Talmor has run in a couple of times with the decision, but, like, that's what would have happened.
Another big moment, too, was when Ordok, when Elon was healing your leg, and you were like, you know, I know it's a bad idea, and I bet it's going to end up killing us all. Because you were like, if I hit him, Amber's obviously going to attack it, but I feel like I have to. And you hit him with the hammer. You know, it didn't end up causing anything because you rolled poorly. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, there's kind of time and time again throughout this campaign where I feel like, you know, we've always chosen playing our characters and worrying about, you know, what they would have done in that storyline versus the actual, like, effects of what that would have meant for the overall podcast story. And I really enjoy being a part of that. So,
well, that's the other thing. I mean, Nim was always, like, chaotic and headstrong. Like, he was always going to do what he wanted to do, and that's what he wanted to do, I guess.
And I also think that's sort of be able to just roll with whatever we do. Like, we might make a bad decision and he's just gonna go with it. Like, it's just gonna be whatever happens, and he can take those swings, and like we'll chase down that lead and see where it goes.
The number of times that we've
all sort of like been on the edge of our seat because we got ourselves into a fight that was very, very clearly over our head. Like, we might have just ended the podcast, but this is what we would do.
Yeah, case in point, next episode.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Tittles, or Adam, had a, or Mr. Tittles, rather, had a question here as well that's actually a pretty good one that we kind of
touched on. As opposed to all of his crap.
Did anyone at any point take into consideration that Elon was the personification of the fire god, or of a fire god, rather? Mind you, bombs are force and shrapnel, but fire as well, and that's, you know, kind of element to that. So, you know, maybe something like that wouldn't have affected him. And the main thing is no. We didn't, because it was me and Nim that built the bomb.
Once I threw it, I did. And that was why I was like, I don't believe that he's dead. But it was only until after I'd thrown it, I'd realized I don't think this is going to have any effect on him apart from him falling over.
Yeah, and I mean, the as far as being like the personification of a fire god, I mean, me and Nim were not privy to the information of the eight visions or anything that they had up in the tent. So yeah. The bomb was more to, hey, we're gonna fuck this dude up because he has to die, and less of like, you know, fire cult or anything like that. It was just like, this is a good idea because this will blow him up because it's the bomb.
I don't think the party ever really fully thinks things through.
That's also true.
No. No. Again, he says, hopefully this is this fire god isn't a phoenix and is reborn from the fire. Yeah, that's a good point. Hopefully he's just not a fire god.
Well, I mean, from what we know from the book, they were like attempting to become like the embodiment of a god. So I feel like they're still mortal. So we probably got him. Right, John?
If he does come back, Talmor's going to become like the god of rage. It'd be kind of fun.
Something like, you know, in that situation, I have no idea how Talmor would react. He just kind of flies off the seat of his pants most of the time. So we'll see. Hopefully he won't come back. Because he should be dead, John.
Well, when I was editing it, and this is something I didn't like, and I didn't realize until after I'd actually listened to it closely editing, John said, you go for his head with the rapier and the thing falls down. It didn't actually go through with the fact that I stabbed him or not. And I was like, that's fucking careful wording, you cheeky bastard.
You see, now I took it as it was implied that he did. Like, he went for it as in, like, you got him. Like, you went for it and, like, you did it. And then so it falls.
When that happened, I heard you went for it. And like mid going for it, everything falls.
That's what I've gathered. Like, because at the time I thought I'd killed him, but when I was editing it, I was like, so yep. Did I kill him or not?
I mean, if Elon comes back, at least Ordok and Talmor are gonna die fighting him if we don't kill him.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's the thing. If he does come back, regardless, Talmor would. Being the character and, you know, Ordok being vengeance, like, there would not be a fight where it didn't end up and one of them died.
Yep.
Either Elon or, you know, we die or he dies.
Like, and, like, Ordok wouldn't stop because it's the thing to do. Talmor wouldn't stop because he's just madly in love.
Yeah, he's my little buddy.
Elon wouldn't stop because he's a dick. Mm. Tittles also noticed the clever wording.
Last time I
seen him, he actually mentioned that to me, and I was like, no. And I actually had to go back and listen to it after that conversation because you know, that was kind of the wording that I didn't catch. But so yeah, that's that's any other questions that you guys have, feel free to post them in the Discord. And if you're not part of the Discord, jump on the Discord. And if you're not part of Twitter, jump on Twitter and Facebook. And now we have Instagram. We also have a blog on our website. And if you want to write up like a full discussion going deep into your crazy rabbit hole thoughts of, you know, our episodes, do that, because that would be fun. And we'll post it on the blog. But I think, because we're at also a little over an hour now as well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. So anything else, guys?
Listen to the next episode. It gets crazy.
Yeah, so the next couple episodes you're not going to want to miss. If that's all, we'll go ahead and end it for the recording. And
I posted a bit of a teaser, John, for the next episodes.
Oh, yeah, you did.
It's a bit of a big teaser.
You want to do an outro for the recording, John?
Sure.
No pressure.
Thank you all for listening. If you haven't checked us out, check us out on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram page, and our Discord chat, where we are always in there because we have no lives.
It's true. True story.
Special shout out to Easy Roller Dice, Wormwood Gaming Accessories, and our newest, happiest member of our family, Studio.
But yeah, thanks guys. We'll catch you. Or no, you say that line.
No, I say that line now.
Oh yeah,
I need to record a new one.
Same dice time, change my channel. There we go. Woo. I got it.